Backyard, where we'll spend this hour with the trees and birds and flowers. It's a bluebird day here in Jack's backyard. So come on in and chat with us a while.
It's time for Jack's Backyard on the Voice of Berks County, 830 AM, WEEU. Views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or sponsors of 830 AM WEEU. And now, here's the host of Jack's Backyard, Jack Holcomb.
That would be me. Good morning. The welcome mat is out for another episode of Jack's Backyard, right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Yours truly, Jack Holcomb, along with our talented producer, Linda, eager to take your calls and discover more about all of nature. The numbers to remember, 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. Hopefully, he said, you all survived an extremely wet week, plus the earthquake. Well, we certainly had enough rain to bring us a bounty of May flowers, I guess. No question about that. I would imagine the weather kept many of you indoors after you fed the birds, looked for new feathered visitors, and then settled in with a good nature book or video or something like that. Many of you were kind enough to send me some emails and notes, and I thank you for those. One new bird reported, while those sightings of bald eagles, of course, continued, even with some photographs, which was very nice. By the way, the email address is jkhbird@aol.com, and the postal address is Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. Linda and I would enjoy the chance to talk, listen, and learn on this first Saturday in April. Come on in and join us in the backyard today. We did see another side of nature yesterday with the earthquake, and hope you suffered no damage. And also today is the first day of trout season. Well, let's see. Let's go to our current events and see what is happening for you in the weeks and days to come. First of all, today, the Bent Limb Farm has an open house from 8 until 2, and they'll be holding their annual shearing day where they shear 45 alpaca, 3 llamas, and 10 sheep. We welcome the public to both watch and actively participate by helping gather the animals, brushing and vacuuming. Yes, they do vacuum the animals. Feeding, handling the fiber, and putting the animals out to pasture. Food will be available through the Munchies food truck featuring eggs, sausage, and hot dogs made from the pork grown right there on Bent Limb Farms. So that's today. They're located at 592 Stone Hill Road in Shoemakersville, Pennsylvania. Stone Hill Road, Shoemakersville, Pennsylvania, Bent Limb Farms. Well, let's see. Tomorrow, I noticed the folks. The folks at Monocacy Hill tomorrow, that was out of order, focusing on Monocacy Hill. They have a wildflower walk tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., and that will be tomorrow for Monocacy Hill. Lancaster County Bird Club has a number of hikes scheduled, bird walks, if you will, through the month of April. Now, tomorrow they'll walk it's a walk for beginning birders as well as other birders at Riverfront Park in Marietta with a 4 p.m. start. The walk is last about 2 hours and walking will be minimal. Loaner binoculars will be available. Now, remember, all of these things at Lancaster Bird Club, you really have to register the day before, or if you want to find out more information, go to lancasterbirdclub.org, lancasterbirdclub, all one word, .org, for more information. Next Saturday, the venue is Safe Harbor Park with a 7 a.m. start. Target birds are early spring migrants like the yellow-throated warbler, bald eagles, and peregrine falcons. And again, you must call to register the day before that walk. LancasterBirdClub.org. Well, let's see. Burke's Nature on Monday, the Nature Place. That's on St. Bernardine Street in Reading. Absolutely free. You can experience this year's solar eclipse with the Nolde Forest folks. By registering for this event, you will get a free pair of glasses to view the event. That's Burke's Nature, and of course you can check that out at burkesnature.org, burkesnature.org. They have a kindness hike next Friday, April 12th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., $10 per person. The program participants will paint two rocks and then go for a hike, during which rocks will be left out to hopefully brighten someone else's day in the near future. The next Saturday, you can hike to Preserve, Bob's Woods and the Pool Sanctuary, April 13th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. That's located on Antietam Road in Temple. It's a rural place. You can take the refreshing sights and see lots of early blooms of wildflowers and birds and all of those good things. If you want directions and to find out more, just go to burkesnature.org, burkesnature.org. The folks at Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area have a program on Wednesday, April 10th, 6:30 p.m., taking the pulse, how we study Arctic raptors. And Jara Thurn from Hawk Mountain will be the speaker there. So that will be at 6:30 p.m. in the auditorium at Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area on Wednesday evening. They have a whole bunch of great programs coming up, and we'll keep you posted with the folks at Middle Creek. Well, the Schuylkill County Conservancy is looking for tree planter volunteers. You are needed to plant trees in Orwigsburg on Wednesday, April 10th, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. And that's through the Schuylkill County Conservancy Program. And if you want to find out more, go to Schuylkill County Conservancy. That's Schuylkill County Conservancy at gmail.com. Schuylkill County Conservancy at gmail.com. For more information on that tree planting. If you can certainly lend them a helping hand, okay? They needed to plant 10 shade trees at Finelli Memorial Park in Orwigsburg. Moving merrily along. Lancaster County Bird Club has their monthly meeting Thursday, April 11th, 7 p.m., and it's being held at the Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area Visitor Center. And the program will be chasing broad-winged hawks from Canada to Colombia. the ecology of long-distance migrants. And the speaker will be Dr. Laurie Goodrich from Hawk Mountain Sanctuary. And that will be again at the Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area Visitor Center on Thursday at 7 p.m. You can go and learn from Laurie. She knows about the broadwing migration, and it's a fascinating story, and you will find out so much more. Lancaster Bird Club, April 11th, 7 p.m., Middle Creek Wildlife Management Area. The Baird Ornithological Club has a meeting on Friday, their monthly meeting, Friday, April 12th, at 7:30 p.m. in person at Albright College. And those are being held, the programs are held at Science Hall Lecture Hall, and that's room 256. So that's Science Hall Lecture Hall, room 256, for the Baird meeting next Friday at 7:30 p.m. And the program will be, and it's also, by the way, being streamed, but it's Birding Pennsylvania State Parks. Chris Kemmerer of DCNR will be speaking on the largest, of course, as you know, Pennsylvania has one of the largest state systems in the country. So she will be discussing all of the birds in state parks and beyond. She is, by the way, the education and interpretation chief for Pennsylvania State Parks. So that will be at 7:30 p.m., Albright College, Science Hall, and that's in their lecture hall, room 256. For those of you wanting to join the Baird Club, and all of their meetings are absolutely free of charge. No questions at all. Just go and learn from a lot of very nice people. Looking ahead, there are a couple of things that I want to mention. Oh, yes, the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Ruffed Grouse Society has a special program for you next Saturday, April 13th, State Game Lands 110, which borders Berks and Schuylkill County, 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. All ages are invited to come and join the Ruffed Grouse Society chapter of Southeast Pennsylvania for an opportunity to work and interact with the Pennsylvania Game Commission. On Saturday, they'll meet on the State Game Lands 110 from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and it will include all kinds of good things, planting seedlings, various mass-producing shrubs, and plus a driving tour. And the day will start with welcome refreshments at 9 a.m. in the parking lot. And that parking lot, by the way, is just off Route 183, which is 2 miles north of I-78. And you will go and learn more about the Ruffed Grouse. And there's also a complimentary hot lunch, too. So that will be next Saturday, State Game Lands 110, Berks and Schuylkill County, 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. And that will be the Southeastern Pennsylvania chapter of the Ruffed Grouse Society. Looking ahead, as we like to do from time to time, the annual Earth Day in Berks County will be held on Saturday, April 20th at City Park in the Banshell area. From noon to 6 p.m., rain or shine, you can dress for the weather. It's a free event, on-street parking, activities for kids, food trucks, live music all day, lots of vendors and organizations which represent good health for our earth and our community. And that will be the annual Earth Day Berks County celebration, Saturday, April 20th at City Park. And that will bring us up to date on current events as I have them before me right here on this Saturday morning as we stare at the sixth day of April in 2024. If your organization is sponsoring any kind of nature event, we'll be more than happy to publicize it for you at no charge. But Jack needs the information. And you can get it to me two ways. The best way, of course, is through my email, which is jkhbird@aol.com. jkhbird@aol.com. Also, if you don't have a computer or have access to one, you can put the information on a postcard, put it in a letter, be sure it's legible, and send it to Jack's Backyard, WEEU 34, North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. So there you have it. Thank you very much. Our telephone numbers, once again, just in case you might have misplaced them, 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. And we would certainly like to have the opportunity to chat with you, and yes, you too, on this Saturday morning. So much to learn, so much to learn. And thank you, folks, for providing that education. Let's go to the phones. Let's start things by saying good morning to Kathy. How are you this morning, Kathy?
I'm fine. And yourself, Jack?
Very well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. My main question was the difference between viewing with these special glasses, the Eclipse, and like UVA and UVB sunglasses. I don't know if you know about that or somebody would know about that.
I would not wear just sunglasses.
Okay.
The special glasses, or you can go into Eclipse website, and they have all kinds of information and even some homemade things you can use to view the eclipse. And I should mention, Kathy, that following the news at 9 this morning, naturalist Mike Slater will be discussing the eclipse on the program.
Oh, thank you. And I have three squirrels left that I think, I don't know what happened to the other ones, but I wasn't home at all yesterday or the day before, and they ate a whole suet cake in one day.
Hey, yes, they will. Yes, they will.
And I wanted to know if maybe your opinion on discouraging them. I don't want to hurt them, but if just putting a little KN powder on the suet cake just to discourage them.
Well, yeah, the hot pepper certainly works for some. You are welcome to try it. Probably the best way to keep squirrels away from suet and feed is putting some kind of baffle on your feeder.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I don't mind them eating the bird seed, but when they start devouring a suet cake a day, it gets a little pricey.
Yeah, they always find a way. Believe me, I've seen them do it. They hang by their tail to get the suet sometimes.
All right. Thanks, Jack, and you have a good day and a nice weekend.
You too, Kathy. Thanks for the call. This is The Backyard, and I'm glad you're along with us today. Let's move merrily along on the program and say good morning to Dave. Dave, what's up?
Oh, this week I saw the first heron come down here to the Bear Creek. The creek's been pretty high. In fact, today, even though it's the first day, I don't recommend fishing it. I'd go out to Sweet Hour Lake, especially if you have a little child. It's still running rough. It's been pretty high with all this rain we got. But and he didn't land at the main creek. He landed a little tributary to it, which I don't know if there's any fish in there or not, but maybe eventually went over to it. But even for a heron, it was the creek was rough this week.
Are you a fisherman, Dave?
No, I kind of pity him. I was upset with the mentor on the 30th. Last year I had a number of grandfathers and stuff bringing their grandsons and little boys and stuff to fish, and they had a great time. And this year it was just too cold, I guess. There wasn't any of them, and there was two cars, and there wasn't one little child in those cars. They were all adults, and they were fishing the creek. There was probably about eight of them. They had two carloads of them showed up here, and I didn't see them until they were leaving. But we had some real nice trout stocked here. I hadn't seen them stocked. I checked it, and they said they stocked it. I think it was on the 29th of February or sometime around there. But I didn't know they were stocked. And a gentleman stopped, and he asked if he could fish down there. And I thought it wasn't stocked, so I said, "Yeah, go ahead." and he was a fly fisherman. He put all the fish back, but he took pictures of five fish that he caught, and one was really nice. It was really big. I think that was a native came into the stream. I don't think that was a stock fish. But then the other three were, they were stocked.
Yeah, I think I heard what? Oh, the Pennsylvania Fish and Game Commission, Fish Commission, I think they stocked, was it the last week they stocked? Or do they stock the day of trout season?
No, not too much any place. They usually stock the first week in March, and then so often we have heavy rains. But I'm not sure if they always gave me four buckets behind my house here, because I let people go back. Actually, I used to have a man bring a handicapped child over and fish, and they can get into it real easy. But this year it's been so wet that I thought they hadn't stocked at all.
Yeah.
And this fly fisherman, he just took pictures of the fish and put them all back in again. But my part of the Bear Creek, you can only fish within the season. Now, from Byrne Road into Auburn, that's you can fish all year round, but the problem there is you can't keep the fish.
Okay.
Sort of a fish for fun area. You have to use special bait, and you can't keep the fish. They had one year they had 32 fishermen find out that the hard way.
Be sure.
Out here where I live, there you can fish, but it's really too high. If you'd have even an 8-year-old or 10-year-old, and he'd fall in this creek right now, there's a good chance he wouldn't get him back.
Be safe.
Because it was just so rough and fast flowing. It didn't flood. We didn't have a flood here, but it was flowing pretty fast, and it settled down a bit, but it hasn't settled down to normal.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Out at Sweet Arrow Lake is a good place to go. I think it's a Sweet Arrow Fishing Association or something. They stock that creek. They have their own hatchery out there, and then they take the fish and stock the Sweet Arrow, because the Fish Commission will not stock it. The water quality isn't good enough.
Okay, very good, Dave. Thank you so much.
Sure. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and I'm glad that you're along with us today. And let's say good morning to Beth up there in Lebanon. Beth, how are you today?
I'm good, Jack.
Good to hear from you.
I am a relatively new bird watcher since I retired. So this story amused me, but maybe is old hat to some listeners. I went out to get in my car on Easter morning, and I noticed that there was an enormous amount of bird poop down the side of my car on the passenger side door. And I didn't think anything of it. My son remarked, "Why has he got all that bird crap on there?" I don't know. I parked on the driveway near trees, which the birds love.
Yes.
On Monday, in that rain, I happened to look out, and there was a robin, huge robin, sitting on the rearview mirror on that side. And I thought, what's he doing?
Mm-hmm.
He was looking in the mirror. He was puffing his feathers up and poking at the mirror with his beak. And then he would fly away, but not far, and come back. I took a few pictures of him. And I looked out throughout the day. He was there almost the entire day, looking at himself in the mirror, and maybe he thought it was another bird.
Absolutely correct. That is the reason. That is the reason.
And maybe he thought he had a potential mate there. I don't know. But he was really excited. And he was flapping his wings and looking and poking. And it just cracked me up.
Yeah, the bird, in addition, probably it's also a territorial thing. In other words, that bird feels that there's a robin that in the mirror, and that robin's invading his invading his territory.
Well, that would make sense because these trees that are on either side of my driveway have berries on them, and the robins love them over the winter. When I first moved to this house, I didn't realize that some robins stay around all year, and I saw these robins in the trees at the berries, and I was just surprised because, as I said, I haven't really been that knowledgeable about birds. So yeah. He has a nice home in those trees, and I guess he was defending his territory or whatever, but every day this week, I've had an enormous amount of bird crap on my car door. even the rain didn't wash it all off.
Interesting because the off times you find them at windows, even your house. Then you've got a battle.
Then you have a problem. Yeah. So if it's nice this weekend, I may get that bird poop off my car, but I haven't seen him the last day or two anyway, but he was here most of the week looking in the mirror, so just wanted to share that.
if you want to, I think, Beth, the thing to do is take an old plastic bag that you have around the house and cover the mirror.
And just cover it up while it's parked there.
That's right.
That's a good idea. I think I'll do that.
Well, good luck.
My car pink, I guess, but He was funny, and it was fun to watch him especially on Monday with the downpour that we had. It was fun to just kind of check at the window and see what he was up to.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Thanks, Jack. Uh-huh.
You say well. Bye-bye. This is the backyard. A common problem. Bluebirds will do that as well. I don't know. Bluebirds and robins are the only ones I've heard of that do that. But maybe there are some other birds as well. Well, let's see. It's exactly 8:31. That's the good morning time and the right time for us to say good morning to Bill Urich. Bill, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Good morning. And the sun is shining. That's always a good thing.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, last week, last Saturday, I had my first chipping sparrow. And it's strange. It's my first and only chipping sparrow so far in City Park, and I've been waiting for the chipping sparrows to show up down here a couple blocks away and haven't had any luck yet. But chipping sparrows are kind of the most common sparrow, I would say, here in the city, at least in the park areas and the neighborhoods, as opposed to, say, which is a different species, like the house sparrow is a different species, but they're rather common. I mean, they're a different, family.
Yeah, yeah.
But song sparrows are, get a couple occasional. But chipping sparrows are kind of our city bird here. I see them pretty frequently in Charles Evans Cemetery, for instance, any of the cemeteries, and City Park and in our neighborhood. So I had one, and his buddies haven't shown up yet. So I imagine the chipping sparrows should be coming through for everybody else pretty soon. And it always comes down to that conundrum of, oh, is this a chipping sparrow, a pine warbler, might be a junco. I have trouble discerning the differences, and I have to actually look and see what's making the sound a lot of times when I hear that dry trill. I guess it's called... it's described as a kind of a dry trill. But, if you want to really go crazy, go to a place where you have a worm-eating warbler and chipping sparrows.
Juncos.
Next to each other with pine warblers and juncos.
Yeah.
Juncos start singing before they leave a lot of times.
Yes.
And I've heard them singing in City Park. It's like, oh, here's another thing to make you crazy. But I guess now with Merlin... We'll have to see how Merlin does in separating those. And, so I wonder how good Merlin would be at separating those different species. It's something to, mess around with. But,
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's never much fun to be, messing around on your phone when you're out and things are happening when you should be looking around. But I also Well, I took a walk up the Rose Creek Valley yesterday morning. I was hoping to get my first Louisiana water thrush of the season, and I haven't gotten that yet. That's the Rose Creek, if people don't know where that is, that's that stream that runs up from Eggleman Park down through Mineral Spring Park and empties into the, goes underground in Pandora Park. And that's usually a reliable spot for the Louisiana water thrush, one of our first warblers to show up in the spring. And, you know, Carrie Grimm from Hamburg always tells me that the Louisiana water thrush is the one that will show up at its territory. It's very rarely seen in migration, but it also just shows up where it's supposed to be. And if you have a Louisiana water thrush singing or at a stream, that's probably where it's going to be nesting, you know, if it's trying to mate.
Yes.
So it gets into the craziness of Louisiana water thrush versus northern water thrush, which really makes my head explode. And so I just look for the Louisiana water thrush because the songs are really quite nice. It has that three-note, almost like a song sparrow beginning, and then true to its form of being nesting in a rushing mountain forested stream, it has a sort of cascading warbling sound that sort of echoes like a stream running over the rocks down the mountainside. But if anybody lives close to an area where you have a wooded stream that that moves through kind of a sort of hilly area, check out, see if there are any Louisiana water thrushes. I think with Punch's Run, maybe in Nolde might be another good spot that people can get into that you'll find Louisiana water thrushes. And you'll find them down, you know, the Hay Creek area.
Yeah, that's where I used to go to find them. We're down the Hay Creek. They are always there.
Yeah, so maybe next week I'll have chipping sparrows in the yard and the Louisiana water thrushes on the creek, and that would be a good day.
Oh, yes. Sounds good to me. Are you all set for the eclipse, and are you going to photograph it?
I guess so. We're going to be going to the museum. The museum is having a sort of get-together for the eclipse, and so we're going to do a story. We're going to cover that. I'd have to bring my telescope with the solar filter. I don't know. That's pretty ambitious for me, but the last eclipse in 2017, I photographed it with my telescope, and there's a picture in the paper this morning that I took back then, but I might have to give it a try. Have you been fitted for your glasses?
No.
One of the interesting, I don't want to step on Mike Slater's eclipse thing, but one time during a partial eclipse, I was walking up the street, up Port Street, and you know how leaves will have small holes in them?
Yes.
They act like pinhole cameras. And instead of seeing, you know, the shadows or things, they were like the eclipse-shaped dots on the sidewalk that, the sun filtering through those leaves, making like a pinhole camera, projecting the eclipse onto, like, the sidewalk and the walls. That was pretty cool. So maybe I'll try to look for that again. And, of course, I'm going to stop because Mike is going to cover a lot of that.
The pinholes, really, you can actually make something, as I recall.
That used to be the way that people used, to safely view an eclipse, get a box, make a pinhole, and make a screen. And so you had a box over your head, sort of, and projecting it. It was a really interesting contraption, and I don't know too many people who did that. But, you know, now, of course, they have the glasses that before they used to have, recommend welding glasses or something. Don't be looking at it directly. That's not good.
We hope your eyes remain sane and you'll see some more good birds coming into your yard or on your walks.
Oh, that would be great. Well, you have a good week.
You too, Bill. Thanks so much.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and we are here, right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. And I'm so glad that you could join us today. By the way, there's a question out there that Linda is sharing with me. Somebody wanted to know how dangerous is it for putting fertilizer on your weed killer or anything like that on your lawn? How does that affect the birds? be sure you read the labels. I'm at the point where over the years I've learned that probably nothing like that on your lawn would be good for birds. Some of them claim to be safe, bird safe, pet safe, but just be very, very careful because so many birds use your lawn as a food source and you don't want them to ingest any of that stuff. So just be very, very, very careful if you're going to use it at all, okay? All righty. Let's go back to the phones. Let's say good morning to our friend Avery down there in Douglasville. Avery, how are you today?
Good morning, Jack. Happy spring to you.
And to you. Thank you very much.
We were over at Oley, my friend and I, the other day, and we pulled over on the side of the road, and we were watching our ducks and geese, and we noticed little birds. They're scooping down. We don't know if they're trying to get water or if they're trying to get fish. Do you know what kind of birds they are?
The very small birds dashing over the water?
Yes.
Probably they're tree swallows.
And they're known to do that.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, what are they doing? Getting water or getting fish?
They're getting bugs.
Oh, very interesting. Boy, I'll tell you, Jack, you are so knowledgeable. And as I said again, we appreciate you every Saturday morning, even the recordings on Sunday. And we just want to say happy spring. God bless. And as I told you many times, keep that heart pumping.
I'll try every day, Avery.
Okay, Jack. Have a good spring.
You too. Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and there are lines open for you, you, and you too on this Saturday morning. I can't emphasize enough, over the years, we've had, you know, even before manufacturers of fertilizer and grass seed or whatever else that you put on your lawn, they now have that pet-friendly. And how pet-friendly is it? I don't know because I don't use it. But I don't know if just read the labels, okay, and do that. And most of the times there are warnings if indeed it is dangerous. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll free, 888-401-0459. And I would love to chat with you, and you too on this Saturday morning. Well, let's see. Our friend Ann up there in Macungie reported a wood thrush. That's the first report of the spring. Normally, we see the hermit thrush because they're some of the hermit thrush will actually winter here, but the first wood thrush, and I thank Ann for reporting that. Also, I had some great photographs from Todd, and he photographed an osprey nest in a cell tower near Pennsburg, which I thought was really, I don't think we've had an osprey reported in this neck of the woods like that for a very long time, if at all. So I thank Todd for passing that along. Also, I want to mention that the hummingbirds are now in Maryland. That is the latest, according to the maps. So they are there, and maybe with some warm weather, they will be here. So that should be your clue to clean the hummingbird feeders and get them out as the month of April moves along. And I especially believe soon because warm weather is coming next week and I believe the week beyond according to all of the forecasts. So there you have it. So just plan accordingly with those hummingbirds, okay? All righty. 610-374-8800. Out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459, and I would really like to chat with you this morning. I had a nice email from our good friend Ron Ryle. Ron, of course, is the butterfly man down there in Pottstown, and I'm quoting his email. The season is almost here. I'll be planting a batch of Mexican sunflower seeds on Monday. Last year, I planted direct sow on April 9th, and the plants made it. And he even scrambled to cover them on May 18th. There was a frost last year on May 18th. So that was ever the first frost ever in that neck of the woods. So he's planting his Mexican sunflower seeds on Monday. By the way, he also is publishing a new book, which will be out this summer, and we'll be talking to him about that. It's a collection of photos from his butterfly habitat, a natural journey featuring butterflies, birds, beetles, and bees. Birds, beetles, and bees. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. Good luck, and we'll keep you posted. We'll talk to him about the book once it is out. And let's go back to the phones, and let's say good morning to Shirley. Hi, Shirley. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you are. I just hung up on somebody because I pressed the wrong button. I'm so sorry. If they want to call back, I appreciate that. And tell Linda that that nasty man doing the program hung up on me. So, how are you this morning, Shirley?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Good.
What's on your mind?
I had a Clark nutcracker at my suet block this week. And I know they're only, according to my book, they're only supposed to be in the western United States.
That's correct.
But this was definitely a nutcracker because of the tail feathers. The white feathers on either side of the gray in the back, and
okay.
Then there was a white patch under on the wings. And I was wondering if they're being seen more frequently now on this side of the country.
Well, that's an interesting. I've never heard of one in this part of the country. That's not to say that sometime in history they've been here, but
right.
I'm just.
Right. Well, this definitely was. And then the other question I had is, I had a gray blue jay. It didn't have the tufts on the head, but it was gray, but it lifted its wing, and there was a blue patch under its wing, and someone told me that was a gray jay.
That's another bird. They have gray jays up to our north, I believe, but that would be rare. I think here, of course, now we know that birds have wings and they can fly anywhere.
So. Yeah, right. And about 20 minutes ago, I saw a bunch of blackbirds flying out in the sky. And like a minute later, I saw another bird come up. Here it was an eagle.
An eagle.
It flew up over my house.
Great.
And I live in Anvil, so...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a little bit of a surprise. There is a creek and wooded area about four blocks away. So I think that's where he came from. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well,
I was really surprised at that.
They're all over the place. I mean, as you know, if you've listened to the program, they're reported
yeah.
every week. And they're not nesting right now, so it won't be long before there's a new, come late May or June. There'll
right.
be even more out there to watch.
Okay, well, I'll just keep my eyes looking for these other birds out back. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Okay. Did that person call back? No. I'm terribly sorry. I hung up on the previous caller on line two, and I... The Clark's Nutcracker resembles... a mockingbird. That's the only bird I can compare it with. But I've never heard of one in this area. So I hope it is that, because that would be rare. And we always welcome a rare bird to our listening area, wherever you might be, since we're right here in the backyard. That's right. Between Animal Radio and Classic Rock. Right here on The Voice of Berks and Beyond. Okay, back we go. And now, Jack, will you press this button and see what happens. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Well, I'm good today. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. At least the sun's out again.
Yes, indeed. Hope it stays out.
Yes. I'm calling on this past Wednesday, around 3:30 in the afternoon. I had about 10 turkeys come across the road from me, up and behind my house, and across into my yard. And they were there about 20 minutes. And I just wondered, are they moving around now? Or
yes. Yes,
all the time or whatever.
They certainly are. Did they stop and get some of the bird food under the...
I don't have bird food out yet, but they were in the yard for about 20 minutes just pecking at the ground.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then they went... I have woods next to my house.
Okay.
And then they went into the woods. And if I counted them right, I thought they looked like 5 male and 5 female.
Oh, so everybody's happy.
Yeah, I guess.
That's great.
So they're just moving around all the time now, I guess.
Yes, I had reports over the last couple of weeks. We've had turkey reports like that. Some of the males are strutting to lure the females, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they were fluffing their feathers over there, too.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay, that's really all I wanted to call about. Well, I wasn't sure about how they're out there now moving around much.
You know, that's a great report, and I'm glad you called.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. The Backyard, right here on WEEU, the voice of Berks and beyond. Let's go back to the phones and let's say good morning to Carrie. Carrie, how are you this morning?
Well, I've said to my son, I don't know how many times, but besides that, I'm personally fine. My husband and I went to the mall last night, and on the way home, we seen a fox. Now, there was a carrion or a dead something in the middle of the road. Well, this fox, oh, the prettiest color, ripped his life or her life to get whatever food was in the middle of the road. It was dead, of course. And he looked up, and the car, I mean, we were coming, and I can understand why there's so many dead animals on the road. But I was watching an old show of Johnny Carson. It aired April 3rd, 1991. And this boy, he was 8 years old. His parents would collect feathers. And he got in trouble by the law.
Yes.
Because he had collected certain feathers. And Johnny was asking him, did you take any of the feathers from a bird that was alive? And he said, no, yes, no. He was only 8 years old, so he didn't really know what to say. And so Johnny kind of looked into the camera, and he said, maybe that's why you're in trouble with the law. But San Diego Zoo had sent Johnny Carson some feathers for the boy, and the boy was quite intelligent regarding to the feathers. But you had talked about stalking the creeks, and my nephew helped. Do that. And okay. I don't know if anybody's ever watched it. They have the fish coming out of like a chute.
Yes.
So it's quite interesting.
I did it one. I observed it 1 year many years ago.
Okay. And it is something to see.
Yes, indeed.
Nobody's ever seen it. Oh, and I just wanted to wish a happy Bluebird Day to my... Well, she's kind of stepdaughter, but she's 2 years old.
Very good. I'm sure she's listening to The Backyard.
Yep, and everybody have a Bluebird Day, and don't forget to give water due to the fact, even though we had all this rain, of the insects and stuff that
that's right,
put
Carrie.
Their eggs in the water. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Take
Thank
care.
You. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Got a couple of emails this week about people feeding in the summertime. Again, that's a personal thing. If you want to find out more, just go to Cornell's website. Mike has talked about it here on the program, and we've discussed it a number of times. Some people want to feed in the summertime. Other people just feed, let's say, from October through April, something like that, when the natural food supply has dwindled. So that's up to you. But let's begin proceedings this hour by saying good morning to James. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Jack. How are you?
Well, last time I checked, everything was okay.
Gorgeous morning.
Indeed.
Our Phoebes are back.
Great. Wonderful.
The problem is we tried to dissuade them from where they build their nest. I put a little underneath the porch, but I don't know if wrens or whatever took that over. We have a cathedral ceiling in our living room with a big window with a point that goes at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's covered by a roof. And they insist on building a nest right on the peak of that window outside. And so when nesting season's over, it's window scrubbing time.
Yeah, yeah. They're very comfortable, or they wouldn't build there.
Yeah, I really like to see them. They're great bug catchers. I like to stand out on the porch and hear a little beak snap.
You hit the nail on the head. They love bugs, you bet. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they have one brood, or did they have more than one brood last year?
I think they had two last year, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Because at some time in late in the season, the nest actually fell off. I mean, it was after.
Yeah.
I know they had one brood, but I'm not sure if it made it through the second one.
Well, I hope the brood this year is successful, and perhaps they'll hang around for two.
Yeah, I really like them. And squirrels, if anybody wants some, I could ship a dozen out to them.
Well, I tried that, James, and had no success. Nobody wanted them.
We hang our feeders as high as we can get them on our deck. And we figured, oh, we got them high enough that they can't reach them. But we got one fat squirrel. It's one. And we know him. We almost know him by name. He can make it to those feeders. And he's round as a little barrel.
Of course he is. Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, we're going to take a trip today sometime. We're going up north for the eclipse.
Did you check that all the areas out? I guess some areas are better than others, and I'm trying to remember what I saw yesterday. Is it as we go farther south or farther north?
Further north, I think it's supposed to be better, but I don't know. It might be partially cloudy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're going up McKean County right on the New York line.
Okay.
And I have a camp up there. And you were talking about turkeys.
Yes.
I know down in Florida, we have three different turkeys, one down south, one here, and one further up north. And down south, I know that's the Osceola. But I can't remember what the turkey is we have around here and the other turkey we have at a different area. There's three different breeds of turkeys.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, there is. And like I say, down south, it's the Osceola. Some of them have a white band on their tail when they fluff up, the males on the top. And ours around here don't. I just can't remember the names of the ones here and the ones further away. But there's three different turkeys.
The reason I say that, there's, for example, in the field guide, there's only one, and that's why I wonder if there we had a listener last week or week before last mention about the turkeys at some of the game farms. Where the hunters can go, and they breed special for the area. And uh-huh. Sometimes they're crossed with maybe even domestic turkeys.
Yeah, I don't know. A wild turkey, if you're lucky enough to get one, they're all dark meat. There's no white meat on a wild turkey.
Okay. That I've never had a wild turkey, so I can't comment on that, James.
They're very good, but you don't get them too often. I'm not much of a turkey hunter. I go look for a deer sign more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for a hike base, you know, you're supposed to be sitting still. Well, I don't. I move around.
That reminds me of a hike that I took. Oh, this goes back a couple of years, quite a few years, actually, and walking through the woods on the state game land and during turkey season. And I walked right by a man who was sitting on a stump with all camouflage gear on.
Yeah.
I never saw him. After I walked by him, I said, something strange about that. And I turned around there. It was a turkey hunter.
Yeah, I was walking up north one time turkey hunting. And I walk real slow and I call, which you're supposed to do that. And I'd walk a little bit further and I'd call. And I walk a little bit further and call. Next thing you know, behind me it goes, come on, come on. One was following me. I never seen it, but I heard it, and it was following right behind me.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
But that's about it. I'm glad our PBs are back.
Yes, yes. Well, I enjoy them, and keep your fingers crossed for two broods.
Yep. You take care and have a good day.
You too, James. Thanks for the call.
See ya.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. I'm so glad you're with us today. Yes, I'm going to take... I'm going to take Linda's call next. Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thank you, on a Saturday morning with the sun shining.
Mm-hmm. That yellow rump warbler, he is beautiful.
Yes.
He is so colorful. He's out here every day, almost all day till almost dark. And that's really cool. He loves the peanut chips.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a bird you've had for quite a while now, right?
Yeah.
Almost. Was it during the winter or?
No, it was just.
Just after the winter, yeah.
Yeah. There were two of them, but now I only see the one.
Yeah, they're because they're here, the yellow rump warblers here, not all of them, but some of them during the wintertime. They're very hardy.
They are really colorful.
Yes.
They are really, it's like I might have changed my favorite bird.
Well, especially in the springtime when they are so brilliant, really.
And then the other day I saw this, I called it a comical bird, and I thought, oh, well, and then when I was looking for warblers, because we have several of them, and I can't figure out if it's a pine or which one it is. But then I was paging through the book, and here it's an oven bird.
Already? So,
yeah, I saw him.
Because I would say early, but not really. Certainly in April they start coming. But maybe it's the weather, but I'm getting reports of some other warblers, too, that in the area. The pine warbler and... The yellow rump, and there's another one, too. I can't think of it offhand. But anyway, there are three warblers that usually show up before all the others.
And we have the mergansers, the common. I did see the other one. I forget what it's called.
The hooded?
The hooded, but the common, I see them almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Not for very long, but... So that's all I wanted to tell you.
Well, a good report, as always.
But yellow rump, oh, my gosh, they are absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, of course, we had cloudy weather and rain, so I couldn't get a decent picture of it. So I'm hoping the sun will come out today and I can get a good picture of him.
I hope so, and you'll share it with me, right?
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you, Linda.
All right, have a good one.
You too, stay well. This is The Backyard. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll free, 888-401-0459. And let's go right back to the phones, and we'll say good morning to Marcy. She's up there in Pine Grove. Marcy, how are you?
Fine, thanks, and you?
Good, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Oh, well, thank you. I have some information about the turkeys. Now, I don't know if that fellow was saying there was just three species of turkeys on the East Coast, or did he just mean there was three species of turkeys, wild turkeys, and that was it? But there are actually five in the United States. There's the Goulds, which are in the mountains of Arizona and New Mexico, and they are in the high mountains, elevations of like 4,000 and above feet. There's the Merriam's, which are in the West Rocky Mountains, the Rio Grande, which is in the Western Desert, and then the Eastern Wild Turkey and the Osceola in Florida. And the reason I knew that is because a few years back I was looking someplace, and So I met somebody who was into a turkey federation, and he told me all about these turkeys. So I just thought I'd share that info.
Yeah. Do you have pictures of them?
I do.
Do they all look alike?
No. No, actually, they look similar. The Eastern Wild Turkey, of course, everybody knows what that looks like. The Osceola Wild Turkey is a little bit less colorful, but they look similar. And the Rio Grande Turkey, they all look a little similar.
Mm-hmm.
The Marion, I don't know, they all have the blue and red, you know, features.
Right, right.
But there's a turkey in Mexico. I mean, now this isn't in the United States, but they might have found them maybe in, you know, down south of California. So they put the oscillated wild turkey, and that turkey is very colorful. It's just colorful all over.
Yeah.
And but our turkeys are all basically the same. They basically look about the same.
Yep.
And it says that the I did look it up too. It says that the which turkey was it that was so hard to call in? But anyway, that's just what I wanted to say.
Well, I appreciate your research. That's great. I'm taken by surprise because I was not aware of this. The field guides, of course, for birds in North America show only one, and it's just the wild turkey. They don't cover any of the ones that you mentioned.
Okay. And I was surprised to know this, too, and I remember it because I'm always saying, oh, well, I could use that on Jeopardy when I get on. On Jeopardy, I'm way too old. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know about the turkeys. And I do have one other thing, if I have time to mention something.
You go right ahead.
I was driving down the road the other day, my grandson and I, and we I don't know how many there were, six maybe, vultures sitting on some kind of dead thing right along the road in the field. But it was really close to the road, and we turned around and went back and looked because it looked like they were babies. Did they have babies now? I mean, they were really little vultures.
Are you sure they were vultures and not ravens, for example?
No. They were vultures. The one flew off, and that had the that must have been a turkey vulture because it kind of looked like the turkey vulture head.
Yes.
And then the ones that were on the ground yet, they were all sitting around. They maybe were black vultures. Are they smaller? Because they didn't have a very colorful. They didn't have any color on their face or anything.
That's correct. They're totally black except for the ends of the wings.
And are they smaller then?
No, I think they're about the same size.
Oh, well, these birds were just so little. And I said to my grandson, look how little they are. And I took a picture, but he took a picture from the car, but you really can't tell how big they are. But anyway, I just thought, would they be having babies already?
Not really. It's too early, I would say, very early.
Okay. Well, then they just look small. Alrighty. Well, thank you very much.
I thank you very much for the call. You take care.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is the backyard. Anyway, 610-374-8800 out of the area. Toll free, 888-401-0459. While I have just a moment here, I want to do something. I want to play a call for you that Bill this morning was talking about, the Louisiana water thrush. And this is a bird that we usually see about this time of year. It's a member of the warbler family. And let's see. The Louisiana water thrush. And as Bill mentioned, you'll usually see them along the streams, especially small streams. You'll find them along the stream side at this time of year, actually. One of the first warblers to pop in, the Louisiana water thrush. This is the backyard. Let's go back to the phones and say good morning to Marcia. Marcia, how are you?
I am very well, thank you. First of all, I had a treat. A bluebird flew in, sat on our porch right outside our kitchen window for a few seconds, and then flew off. I'm there, okay, this is definitely a bluebird day.
That's great. Good for you.
I also had a street sparrow, too, which I was hoping they would come a tiny bit later because the bluebirds and the tree sparrows kind of fight with each other as to see who's going to win the box.
Yes, but yes.
In any case, it's all good. I wanted to share this for anyone who's really interested in the solar eclipse. If you Google something called Eclipse Simulator and you put your town in, a website comes up and it will show you the beginning time, and then in motion, it will show you what the eclipse will look like.
Okay. I'm trying to remember, I guess the total eclipse, they say start looking around 2, and I believe it's after 3 when the actual full eclipse takes place?
It's interesting because we're going to be in Jonestown. The eclipse starts there at 2 o'clock. Here in Boyertown, it starts about 2:06.
Okay.
And then it's, I think, 3:17 when the maximum eclipse will be. And according to the simulator, it is very, very close to a total. It's just a tiny sliver of light that will be seen at that time.
Hopefully no clouds.
Yeah, we're going to go with that. But it was really interesting to be able to go to this eclipse simulator and see what's going to happen. We have our 6-year-old granddaughter all excited about it, and we've built a box, and we have glasses, and we're going to, do different things.
Oh, that's great.
So anyone with, children who maybe will miss it if they're in school or whatever, it's available online, and I wanted to share that.
So, Marcia, if they want to Google this, it would be just Eclipse Simulator?
Eclipse Simulator 2024, and then I put in Jonestown.
Okay.
And then when I searched, the site comes up that says Eclipse Simulator in Boyertown or in Jonestown, whichever.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Thank you for mentioning that. I expected Mike would have talked about that today, but unfortunately he couldn't get to a phone or there's some problems involved, so Mike Slater couldn't join us today.
Well, I waited a little bit to see if he would come back in or be able to get back in, and then I thought, well, it doesn't matter if it's said twice. So anyway, have a great Saturday, a great weekend, and take care.
You too. Thank you so much, Marcia.
Bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, Bill, I want to thank Bill for sending me information about the eclipse. Don't let your pets out. Keep your pets inside during the eclipse. That's one of the messages that he sent. But indeed, there's all kinds of information on the eclipse, if you can dig it out with Google. But do your thing, okay? 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. And I'm certainly glad you took time to join us today right here in the backyard. Join the Daily Savings Club of Wild Birds Unlimited and save money all year long on the freshest bird food in town. Every day, you can get 15% off the regular price of all of their high-quality bird feed, and for every $200 spent, you'll receive $10 off any merchandise in the shop. Stop by your local store and become a member of the Wild Birds Unlimited Daily Savings Club today. And you can check their website for more information, wbu.com, WB as in boy, WBU.com. In Berks, they're located at the Springtown Center, and they're also in Wayne and in Allentown. Visit Wild Birds Unlimited and share in their passion for bird watching. Wild Birds Unlimited is currently featuring EcoTough bird feeders and bird houses made sustainably from 100% recycled materials, and they can be taken back to the store for repairs. Visit Wild Birds Unlimited at the Sinking Spring store in the Springtown Center or along Lancaster Avenue in Wayne and also on Tillman Street in Allentown.
MusicRewind.com can help expand your music collection. Choose classic CD instrumental compilations, such as Moon River Great Instrumental Hits, Harmonica Blues, A Summer Place, The Best 100 Classical Hits Album, Ace of Spades Guitar Instrumentals, and many more. Go to MusicRewind.com to find all your favorite music, plus get 20% off. Buy as much as you want and save 20% on your entire order with promo code SAVE20. There's jazz, rock, orchestral, classical, easy listening, blues, and even polka at MusicRewind.com today. Remember promo code SAVE20. This offer is available for a limited time to U.S. residents only and cannot be combined with any other offer.
Are you feeling hungry? Then come to Wyomissing Bakery and Restaurant for breakfast or lunch. The best bakery and buffet in Berks County. With fresh fried chicken to homemade donuts, they got you covered. And you can even order off the menu. Everything is fresh, never frozen, and always homemade from scratch. The Wyomissing Restaurant and Bakery is open daily from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. For the full menu and specials, go to WyomissingRestaurantAndBakery.com. Get your feast on today, located at 1245 Penn Avenue in Wyomissing.
Do you have a loved one who is becoming more forgetful? Are you concerned that their financial obligations are in jeopardy? To ensure their protection, contact Attorney Scott Ho. Attorney Scott Ho will safeguard your loved one with a Pennsylvania-compliant power of attorney. Call Attorney Scott Ho at 610-374-5841. That's 610-374-5841, or email Scott at scotholaw.com. Attorney Scott Ho, voted one of Berks County's top lawyers.
The mission is simple: feed the hungry. Helping Harvest collects, purchases, stores, and distributes over 9 million pounds of food annually to more than 350 programs that do just that: feed the hungry in Berks and Schuylkill County. However, Helping Harvest needs your support to continue this vital mission. Your donation of non-perishable food items, such as cereals, pasta, and fruit juices, as well as your financial contributions, go directly to the hungry in our own neighborhood. For more information and to learn how you can help, visit helpingharvest.org.
Back to more of your calls on Jack's Backyard here on The Voice, 830 a.m. WEEU.
And there are no calls on the line, so that means there's a line open for you right here in the backyard. 610-374-8800, out of the area, toll-free, 888-401-0459. Weekday listening on WEEU is just so great. I mean, there's so much to listen to. Following Mornings with Mike, there's time for Bill Saunders. You know Bill, yes. Had a birthday this week. He was 40. He was 40. At least I think that's what he told me. But anyway, he's on with Feedback from 9 to noon. Don Bongino at 12 to 3, and The Ramsey Show from 3 to 6. And don't forget special shows, too. 6 o'clock shows Tuesday, Money Doctor, Wednesday, Health Talk, and on Thursday, Idle Talk with the nice folks at King's Auto. So there you have it. That's a good listening for you right here. And Saturday mornings, of course, it's Animal Radio and Jack's Backyard and then Classic Rock. So you have the... Did you write all of this down? Did you? Okay. I just wanted to be sure. I mentioned earlier about hummingbirds, and there was an interesting bit that I had stuffed away for occasions like this. with a little article called The Hummingbird Homestead, How to Attract Hummingbirds. And this is, well, five or six different things that you can use. Two native flowers, particularly the tubular red flowers, two food sources, one hummingbird feeder or native nectar plant food, flowering shrub, which is food, cover, place to raise young, misting device, a misty device for your water. You can buy those. I mean, there's a variety of those water misters now that you can add to your bird bath. And also a tree for food and cover and place to raise young. And you can actually use a drip hose for irrigation and eliminate pesticides, as hummingbirds will eat bugs for their sustainability. So there you have it. That's from the Hummingbird Homestead. So you have all of those things. Chances are you will have hummingbirds, and I hope so. Just be sure the feeders are clean and ready to put out. And, well, I guess Mike told us certainly towards the end of April. But as I mentioned earlier, they are now in Maryland, so they're getting closer every day. Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we'll say good morning to Kelly. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. I hope you are, too.
Well, I certainly am, and I thank you for calling and bailing me out.
Good. I have a question for you. I had the opportunity yesterday to visit a great horned owl mom, and this year she had one baby. It's my third year seeing her in Lancaster County in the same nest. And I understand from someone yesterday that I met, this is her 10th year nesting in this same sycamore tree. I'm glad she's living that long, but I didn't realize that they do that.
Nest in the same place?
Yes.
That's a good question. They will, certainly. They'll even go to a nest that's made, for example, by a red-tailed hawk or something like that.
Okay.
But they certainly will nest in the same nest. And the story that I get, if not the adult, then the young, perhaps, when they are a breeding age, will use that same nest, too.
Ah, so maybe it isn't the same mommy. It could be one of her offspring. Okay.
But, you know, once they find that food supply and everything is, you know, good for them, they'll stay there, no question.
Wonderful. I also learned yesterday from a gentleman who has been visiting this nest for the 10 years. I think it was 4 years ago, it was in the Lancaster County papers, that a falconer came and climbed this sycamore tree. And at that time, she had three owlets, and he took one for falconry purposes. He produced a certificate that this was legal for him to do and caused quite an uproar with the birding community that was there witnessing all of this.
I remember we talked about that, Kelly.
Oh, my.
And, yes, there was a great deal of consternation involved with that.
Good work.
To say the least.
Well, this year she only had one owlet. Last year I saw she had two, and the year before she had two. So now the park, I believe, has put up a no-climbing trees sign.
Good, good.
And it, you know, obviously, hopefully, would never happen again. But what a great opportunity to see that.
I would say so. We never got a response as to what a falconer would do with a great horned owl.
Well, that's what I wondered. When we were in Ocean City on the boardwalk a few years ago, we witnessed a Harris hawk, I believe it was.
Okay.
And they were using them to keep the seagull population down, but they also had a Eurasian eagle owl.
Okay, yes.
That they had in their falconry company or business, whatever you say. So, yeah, I don't know what would they do with a great horned owl.
And that's a question that never was answered, and I couldn't find an answer on that, as I recall.
It's interesting.
But
well, very good. I just wanted to let you know what a wonderful opportunity I had to see this mommy and her, I call it, fluff nugget, because they're all fluffy, floozy feathers, right?
That's great. Well described.
Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Thank you for the call.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's great. Yeah, that's, and maybe somebody's listening could answer that question for us today. I just don't know. Okay. Let's move merrily along. We have time to say good morning to Joe. Joe is in Ephrata. How are you, young man?
Good. How are you, young man?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just want to say a couple of words and ask a question, but I had some friends up from Tennessee, and I took them out to Middle Creek. What a treasure that is.
Oh, yes.
To have in this area, I'll tell you. It's really, they really were taken back with it. But my question is we've been out there a few times now, is there going to be any real large numbers of birds out there this year, or is there the weather going to prevent that? Like, we've been out there, you know, years when, you know, it was so packed. It was just the birds were almost on top of each other, and to see them go up, that's what they were amazed about. I was wondering if there's going to be any of that. And, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this. Every license plate, I'm blind, but my wife was reading off the license plates. It's amazing.
Yes.
People come from areas. But is there going to be any large accumulation of birds this year there?
We're talking about snow geese. And, and that season has passed.
Okay. There was never any large, real large numbers like we had seen in the past. Or maybe we missed it. I don't know.
They had, there was one time when they had 60,000 plus, something like that. But that was that number was low compared to the normal amount.
Yeah, that's what, now how long will that last? How long would they be there, just passing through on one day, and then they'll take off?
No. They usually would arrive, and it's hard to say because so much is weather-dependent. Are the fields open for food, and is the water open for roosting? So late January, perhaps, at the earliest, February, and usually they're gone maybe the second or third week in March, something like that.
Okay.
But it all depends on the weather. That's the factor on that, Joe.
Okay. So can they predict that? I mean, if you would ask those out at the Middle Creek, can they predict that or not?
They can give you a good idea, certainly, because of experience over the years. But again, it's so much dependent on the weather. Is the lake open, number one? Are the fields open for food? So there are many, many factors here involved. But certainly you are welcome to give them a call because those are the experts up there. They know.
Yeah. No, we go out there and we went in the center. I really appreciate your show, too. I used to be in Phoenixville, then I was in Denver, and now I'm in Ephrata. So, but I'm the same Joe.
That's great. I'm glad you get around, Joe.
Yeah, I've been around. Okay.
Great to talk with you. Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard, and let's see here. Let's go to Susie. Susie's in Shillington. Susie, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm very good, enjoying the sunshine.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. I had a question. Some time ago, you spoke about squirrel deterrence. And I remember mint being one of them, and cayenne pepper and citrus. Are there any more?
I'm just trying to think if I save that at all. I'm looking as I talk with you. I try to save those things, but sometimes they go astray with my messy bookkeeping. So I'm looking.
Yeah, I remember the cayenne pepper very well, the mint, peppermint, and the citrus. I checked up, looked on Amazon, and there are quite a few that are some range from $20 squirrel deterrents to over 100.
I found it, Susie.
Okay.
And that predator sense, squirrels and chipmunks are prey animals, so the scent of predators can be a very effective in dissuading them from coming into your feeders. Strong scents like cayenne pepper, vinegar, or ammonia can be used to discourage squirrels and chipmunks. Citrus scents,
The smell of citrus is unpleasant to squirrels and chipmunks. Plant deterrents. Certain plants like marigolds, alliums, lemon balm, and paper whites have strong scents that can be off-putting to squirrels and chipmunks.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the list I have, and I found it.
Yes, when I throw my peanuts out for the blue jays every day, the squirrels also take their share, but there seems to be a lot more now than there was in February. I think this is possibly the breeding season, and they may be looking to breed. And a friend of mine called and asked about she was having a problem with the squirrels getting in her garage. And I think they might be trying to make a nest, look for a place to make a nest. Would that be possible at this time of year?
As I believe, the breeding season is twice a year, and February and August are the months.
Oh, okay.
If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me on that, but I do believe that was it, February and August.
Well, they probably are looking for a place to have their babies. That's probably what it is by this time, early
yes,
April.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why they're looking to get in, get inside, find a place to put have their babies if they can't find trees.
They're also very hungry when they're raising young.
Yes, I noticed that too with other species of animals around here. and I have my friendly raccoon that comes up every night, and it's gotten to the point now I don't even chase him away. I just let him have fun and enjoy himself.
You're kind to wildlife, Susie. That's great.
Yeah. He's cute. I look out the window. I see his little black mask, and he looks at me, and I say hi.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Then he just continues munching away, and I just—he's not hurting. He doesn't hurt my bird feeders. He doesn't break them or anything. He's just eating the safflower seed. Would you believe?
Yeah, I do believe that. Yes. Well, it's good to talk to you, Susie. Thank you so much for the call.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Take care. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. And guess who's on the line? Master Naturalist Mike Slater calling from Texas?
Farmers Branch, Texas.
How are you this morning, young man?
Yeah, the phone was acting weird. It didn't want to give me a signal. It didn't. My alarm that goes off at 5 of 9 didn't work. I don't know what's going on.
So you all ready for the eclipse?
Yeah, if we have clear skies. It sounds like most of the country's going to have clouds in the eclipse path.
Does it have to be totally cloudy, or can you witness a portion of it if it is cloudy at all?
You can sometimes see the sun through high clouds, but for the total eclipse, I want to see clear sky so we can actually see the sun and the moon.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about the eclipse, and that was, how does it, if at all, affect birds and wildlife?
What people report is that the birds stop singing and night insects start calling.
Okay. Interesting.
So they think, oh, it's nighttime, and it only lasts 2 to 4 minutes. This one will be a little over 4 minutes.
So from your vantage point, would it be better where you are compared to Berks?
Yeah, we'll have it. That's one reason I came here. We'll have the total eclipse. Berks is only going to be at about 90%, which I've seen before, like in the 2017 eclipse. But I want to see a total eclipse when it gets completely dark, not just darkish, like a partial eclipse.
Are you going
to? If you want to see a total eclipse in Pennsylvania, you'd have to go to Erie, which will have it, or Buffalo, and I understand they're both full.
Yeah.
My sister told me that Dallas is expecting 400,000 people to come into North Texas for the eclipse.
Wow. For 400,001 or 40,001.
Yeah, they don't have me on the list.
Okay. Are you going to photograph it?
I'm going to try to photograph the total eclipse. Yep. With a normal camera, you can do it during the total eclipse. If you only have a partial eclipse, you need a sun filter for your camera, just like you need the sunglasses if you want to look at a partial eclipse. The best way to see the partial eclipse is with a pinhole camera, so you can use like a colander and hold it up, and the shadows on the ground will each look like a little sun with a carved out of it. Or it's even neater if you do it, if the leaves are coming out on the trees, if you have a place where there's some leaves, you can see through the gaps in the leaves that normally give you little white spots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little sun with the moon taking a bite out of it.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad you finally got through today.
Yep. I don't know. Maybe the time zone change messed up my phone's reminder or something. But I did want to tell you I've had purple finches coming to my feeders the last 2 days.
Great.
And still have at least one siskin around.
So they're headed north.
Yep. And the purple finches are coming through, so people should be seeing them. When I get home, I'll email you a picture. I actually got a photograph of a purple finch and a house finch both on the feeder at the same time.
Great.
They're on opposite sides of the feeder. They were not, you know, buddy-buddy at all.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, enjoy your stay, and I wish you good luck.
I will. If I get a picture of the total eclipse, I will send it to you.
I'm grateful. Thank you so much, Mike.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Good morning, David. We have about a minute and a half. Good morning. How are you?
Good, Jack. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Yes, and I hope Lisa's doing well. We, Annie and I went down to Chicoutimi on Easter for the Decoy and Art Festival, and I did very well. I practically sold out.
Oh, that's good news. Good news.
And we had a little rainy weather going down and a little rainy weather coming back. But down there it was beautiful. We had great food, great birds, and thought of you many times.
Well, I appreciate that. And when you said that, I'll have to remember that it's a good way to travel when I can't.
Yeah, I know. But someday we'll get you down there.
Oh, thank you. That would be nice. Appreciate it, David. Take good care. Best to you and Annie.
Yep, you take care, Jack. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is The Backyard. Thank you for all the phone calls today. You make the show go, and I am grateful for every single one. And by the way, if there's anything that came up in the show today that you would like to help us with, I know the helping hands are out there, and we certainly don't have all the answers, so if you would like to add to anything, you can email me, jkhbird@aol.com, jkhbird@aol.com. And thank you. Also, the postal address is Jack's Backyard, WEEU, 34 North 4th Street, Reading, Pennsylvania, 19601. So thank you for joining us today. We hope you'll have a wonderful weekend as the weather's going to get warmer next week. So you be sure the bird feeders are clean. Get ready for the hummingbirds, which are just down the road. And then you can call and report to us because we'd like to know as well right here in Jack's Backyard. All right, thought for the day. Thought for the day comes from John Milton, who said, "Sweet is the breath of morn, her rising sweet with the charm of the earliest birds." Well, we have to get out of here. For producer Linda, yours truly, Jack Holcomb, hoping you will find some time to
eavesdrop on Mother Nature, and you might want to start it with a bluebird day today.